Everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. It's my first show back since I've been banned for 90 days, so we'll get that out the way right now. My next show, I will probably interact, with the chat a lot more and stuff. I wanted to come on and I wanted to do a quick video for people who, haven't really looked into the moon hoax yet, the Apollo moon hoax. And it's just going to be about that topic for obvious reasons. Okay, just get them in the door, get them looking at that. And I just want to blow the whole thing apart right now. We have an old show from before with Justin Cook and I that we did. And Justin Cook, for those of you that don't know, Justin Cook was my co-host for many years, and he passed away last year. But in 2012, we exposed the Apollo moon hoax. So I've known about this for a long time. It's been over 6 years because it was early 2012. We did the show in April and we tore it apart. It's an awesome radio interview. If you want to, if you don't need to see a video and you want a show meant for the radio, definitely check that out. So that's on my site, therealnewsonline.com, which is always linked at the bottom of every video. And my whole archive is there. Just go back to April 2012 and you'll see the Apollo show. But anyways, we're going to do a video one because now I have a whole video audience, YouTube, whole new community over here. And I like to do things on video. I feel I can express my points better. So what I want to do today is for anybody that hasn't looked into the Apollo moon landings, I want to do a little video for you, short video, not like a 10-minute video, but it'll be quick, okay? And the reason I titled this what I did, Blindly Believing in the Apollo Moon Landings, The Height of Ignorance, your silence is consent. That's not a shot at anybody, because we all believe this. And you'd be very exceptional if you've never somehow believed in the moon landings. I mean, it's beaten into your head endlessly. Endless indoctrination and brainwashing. Let me just tell you a little bit how I got into looking into the Apollo moon landings and what I discovered and what made me really start to question some things. And maybe you guys will see some of the same stuff. How I got into it is I used to research 9/11 intensely. I was, knee deep in it for years. And one of my things that I would look at a lot, I was into media fakery as a whole, so not just 9/11, but other events where they would use things like CGI, green screen, actors playing victims, things of this nature, So it's kind of, for me, I thought it was like a natural progression. And when somebody mentioned to me, and of course, everybody hears it when they're little or whatever, you hear, oh, people think the moon landing's fake. But before I ever researched anything, I heard this. So I had no reason to doubt NASA, doubt the whole system. So, I hear, after looking into 9/11, and we can all have different views on that, I would think that anybody that's made it this far probably at least thinks the official story is a little fishy. Okay. So, after looking into that, my next thing to look into happened to be Apollo. It was in 2012, about 2 years after I started 9/11, maybe not even a full 2 years, like a year and a half. And, one of the first things you look at when you start to see it is the imagery, And I'm not going to sit here and present a whole bunch of pictures right now because it's just going to slow down the stream. I just want to talk to you, and all you, if you're interested, you could find all this. And I have some links for you for some excellent documentaries that aren't mine. And you can always reach me on Facebook, YouTube, whatever, and I'll exchange any images you want or whatever. But when you start to look through the imagery with a skeptical mind, where you're not just going to believe what you're told by the system. I mean, it's very obvious. I mean, it really is. You can see wire harnesses picking these people up. You can see wire harnesses pinging in the background. You can see, for instance, with the photography, when you take they told you that when they went to the moon, they only had one source of light, and that was the sun. Yet on all different shots, there's these intersecting shadows. So there's more than one light source for the shadows to be coming in crisscrossing directions like this. I mean, it's simple. There's photography where the astronauts, say, for instance, are going up the ladder into the lunar module, the lunar lander, which we're going to talk about because that thing is whew, all right. But so you have shots of them where they're in complete darkness. So, for instance, if behind me was the lunar module and I'm the astronaut, this is all in complete darkness, but I'm lit up brightly on the ladder. It's obvious that they're using some sort of closed spotlight type of thing. It's not the sun. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then rocks in the foreground will be in the shade. I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff. But, you know, before we even get into deep into, you know, having to pick through all the imagery and stuff, let's just use some things that you can think about without having to go any other video, go to look at any pictures anywhere. It's like, where do you think they put the fuel to get to the fucking moon? Like, seriously. Like, I know the rockets are big, or at least what they show us, right? But if the moon's 237,000 miles, like they say, where do they put the fuel? Like, seriously. And if you actually go through the NASA archives, it's just an absolute plethora of mistakes and goofs and things of what not to do. Okay? And I'm going to stay on the moon landing, but there's a whole bunch of other things that they do in space that are just – or that they allege to do in space that are just absolutely easy to tear apart. So where's the fuel? And then, you know, when you see these rockets take off, right, and there's all this blast behind it, and, you know, they're supposedly using all this force to push through the vacuum of space, which how do you push through a vacuum of space without an atmosphere to push off of? How do you control these rockets? How are they even pushing? Nobody will even answer that for me when people talk about, oh, well, maybe they went to the moon, but it was a secret space mission, so they gave you fake pictures. These are the stories people come up with to try and justify first they'll deny the photos being faked. Then when you present it all and it's so obvious the footage is fake, oh, secret space missions, they were told by aliens on the dark side of the moon. That's why you don't see. It's crazy. It really is crazy. So what are the rockets pushing off of? How do they work? Can anybody answer that? And do you really believe space is a vacuum? Because if it is, well, how is it not sucking the atmosphere of the Earth off? I mean, none of it really makes any sense. It's time to absolutely come and question these people, okay? So there's footage where the rockets, you know, they're getting close to the moon and they're in the lander or whatever, and they're going to land down and the rockets blasting and whatever, and you can hear them talking. And then you don't even hear the rocket in the background over them, okay? But, you know, for me, one of the first things I saw, and we are going to play a little clip of it, everybody needs to see this, okay? It's called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Now, what I'm going to say is when I looked into the Apollo moon landings, I knew within the weekend, you know what I mean? I'm not going to say I stopped there because I kept digging, but I knew within the first 2 days that this thing was an absolute joke. And you should too. And you shouldn't be against looking at the information. It's not going to hurt you. If I'm telling you it's a weekend conspiracy, well, look into it for a day. And if you think it's not compelling what I'm saying and what you're seeing, turn it off. You know what I mean? Who cares, right? So on a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, what happens is there's this footage that got out to Bart Sobrell, who's a film producer, and got to him mistakenly, supposedly. I don't know, you know, what really happened. But, you know, they show the astronauts, Michael Collins, Neil Armstrong, and Buzz Aldrin, the three that allegedly landed on the moon. And they're filming, you know, and they're saying they're halfway on the way to the moon and all this and that. And you can see them faking it. You can see them faking the distance out the window. Well, they're telling you they're halfway. They're literally, the Earth is filling up their whole window. Picture this, right? But around their window is the walls. So what they did is they turned off the light. They told you the camera was against the window and the Earth looks really small. But it's really back here. The walls are blacked out. So it looks like the blackness of space and Earth looks small in the distance rather than filling up the whole window as it really was in reality because they were really just right above. And they got, and this is actually also dated the same days they were supposedly walking on the moon. I'm going to play this real quick, and then we're going to get into a lot of the technical reasons why this just doesn't work, at least according to what they've told us space is and all of this, you know. Give me 1 second. I'm just going to put my screen share on so you guys can see this. And here we go. Have a listen to this.
Before the completion of this documentary, an old reel received by mistake. It contains the raw or unedited footage of the crew of Apollo 11, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin Jr., and Neil Armstrong, staging part of their mission for nearly an hour in living color, with exceptionally clear behind-the-scenes audio of conversations discussing the techniques used to achieve a disingenuous picture depicting the Earth at a distance. in order to falsely demonstrate their far journey from it and their ability to survive passing through the Van Allen radiation belts. It cannot be misconstrued that this staging was done for some other reason prior to the mission, for the reel itself is slated and dated July 18th, 19th, and 20th, 1969, the very days of the mission when they were said to be approaching and achieving lunar orbit. Furthermore, it is apparent they are in genuine zero gravity aboard the actual spacecraft, necessary to convince the mass media of their authenticity, just not any further than Earth orbit, as you will see. In this never-before-seen-or-heard footage, not only is the radio conversation between the astronauts and Houston Control audible, there is a secondary, private conversation taking place between the crew and a third confidential party, prompting the astronauts with what to say, when to speak, and how to effectively manipulate the camera to achieve the desired misleading effect. NASA claims that the Houston transmissions were the only ones taking place with the astronauts. Listen now as Houston Control initiates a conversation with the crew, only to find them too preoccupied with the behind-the-scenes trickery to respond. Moments pass, and the oversight is picked up on by the clandestine...
And later we're going to talk about compartmentalization. So when people say, well, all these people at NASA would have to be in on it, well, look at what's happening right here. They all are trying to contact the crew. The crew are actually being spoken to and directed by somebody else, and obviously not a room of 1,000 people, you know, probably just a few people at the top. And you're going to see what they're going to do. And the reason I'm playing this, it's only like 2 more minutes, you know. The reason I'm playing this, guys, is you're going to see them actually filming and faking their distance, because they can't go that distance. Why would they fake being halfway to the moon if they could go to the moon? It's because they can't go to the moon. It's because they can't even go halfway to the moon. If they could go halfway to the moon, why would they be faking that they're halfway to the moon? It's really that simple. It's only like another 2 minutes. Let me see if I can it's right here. Yeah, I don't want to speed it up, so just hang with it.
Really fine good. Third party who quickly prompts them with talk. Immediately, Neil Armstrong speaks.
Hello, Apollo 11. Houston, Goldstone says that the TV looks great. Over.
Sure. Okay, Roger, we're not in on Earth.
Again, the illusion they are attempting to create is the Earth at a distance to demonstrate their far journey from it and their ability to survive passing through the Van Allen radiation belts. Understand, too, that only about 20 seconds of this raw footage was ever broadcast to the public, and these conversations discussing their deception were believed to be private until now. Here they discuss that these television transmissions were in fact not broadcast live as everyone believed. They were first screened and edited for playback later.
Roger, Neil, we just wanted a narrative such that we can, when we get to playback, we can sort of correlate what we're saying. Thank you very much.
Here they discuss the fact that they have turned out the lights and have blocked out sunlight from entering the spacecraft through the other windows as to not cause any reflected light to fall onto the spacecraft's wall in the foreground.
Okay, very good. Well, we shut out the sun coming in some of the other windows.
See, this isn't outer space. This is literally the walls. They shut the light off and back to the camera way up here, so they film it so the Earth looks small in the void of space. But in reality, Earth is filling up the whole window, and you'll see in a minute, because an astronaut is going to actually get in between the camera and the Earth in the window with his arm, so the camera can't be pressed up against the glass like they claim.
It's looking through the number one window under it, reflected light.
The reason this was done is so that the truth of the matter would not be revealed. It is this. Though the federal government would have you believe that this is a view of Earth from a distance out of the spacecraft's window as it nears the moon, it is not. What they have ingeniously done is placed the camera at the back of the spacecraft and centered the lens on a circular window in the foreground, outside of which it is completely filled with the Earth in low orbit. The circumference of the window then appears to be the diameter of the Earth at a distance, with the darkened walls of the spacecraft appearing to be the blackness of space around it. That is why they wanted the interior dark and blocked out the sun from entering through the other windows. Here you can see the extruded window, probably 2 inches thick at the bottom. This is because the earth shine is coming in at a downward angle. It also causes the earth to appear to be an irregularly shaped circle, for you are seeing the outside of the window at the bottom and the inside of the window at the top, which together form two different sized halves of a circle. Subsequently, this take was never used. As they perfected the shot, a crescent-shaped piece of black material was inset slightly into the
window. Watch this. They're going to cause the Terminator line. The Terminator line is supposedly, you know, the line that moves across the Earth as darkness moves around from the Earth going around, from the Earth spinning and the light from the sun. Watch what they do. They literally take a cardboard insert. This is NASA. These are the people that you believe blindly because they wear lab coats and they're supposedly scientists. Well, do you believe all government agents? Because they are a government agency. They were formed by Nazis with Operation Paperclip, which we're going to get into. Okay, now watch as they place a fucking piece of paper in front of your Earth and act like that's the day and night being caused by the spin of the fucking Earth. Just watch.
Window to create the illusion of the Earth's Terminator line dividing night and day. It is uncannily convincing. During this segment, intended to be edited and played back later for the worldwide television audience, dated July 18, 1969, Neil Armstrong condemns himself as he states that he is 130,000 miles out, or halfway to the moon, as the NASA flight log also states on this date, when he is, in reality, in low Earth orbit of a few hundred miles.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 11.
You're going to see it right here. You're going to get their arm right in front of it.
Here, during another segment, also intended to air after review, Neil Armstrong falsely explains to the viewers how the shot is attained by putting the camera's lens to the window's glass, as it would have to be if they were the claimed distance away from the Earth.
We only have one window that has a view of the Earth, and it's filled up with the TV camera.
If the window was completely filled up with a TV camera, as he stated, then an astronaut's arm would not be able to get between the camera and the window, as it obviously does here in this outtake.
South America becomes invisible for beyond the Terminator.
So if the camera is against the glass and the Earth looks this far because it's in the void of space, how did he get his arm in between?
Shadow.
Look at this.
You can also notice how the astronaut operating the camera reacted to the mistake by attempting to pan away from it.
This is fakery, people.
This is a segment that they believed wasn't even being recorded, much less suitable for broadcast, for out the window.
See the work light? So they can see what they look at, they're putting shit in front of the Earth.
Finally, the iris is
maybe that's
up,
a UFO.
And you can
people
see
say
the real location of the camera.
Watch
and
this.
The very bright
watch this
and near Earth out the window. Here is the slate for the 19th of July.
All the days
and the
are
same
on the moon,
shot
supposedly
of trickery on the 19th of July. And then the 20th. And the same misleading shot on the 20th.
So that's all I'm going to play. That's a lot right there. I didn't mean to play that much. I don't like to play other people's content so much. But let me shut the screen share off. Hang on a second here. All right. Screen share is off. So that is one of the things that I first saw when I started looking into the Apollo moon landing. So I don't know how you can look at that and still believe, you know, the stories that they tell you, or at least not start doubting it all. So, but further than that, you know, if you ever watch these people come back from outer space, if you ever watch them come back, they tell you that they're coming in on a glider and they literally, you can hear the jet engines and it's covered with a tarp. I mean, that's just how much they'd lie to you right in your face. But we mentioned Operation Paperclip, you know, during that video. You know, a lot of people don't know that. And it's not a secret thing. I mean, there are people who do any type of research usually know about Operation Paperclip, but it was started with like 1,000 Nazis that they brought over. Werner von Braun, you guys might have heard of him, the head rocket scientist. He was a Nazi. He was a Nazi. Okay. And then more about that. Like, so they tell you, for instance, they went to the moon and Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon, right? And it's just like, well, how do we have a picture of him coming down the ladder? Who took the picture? Okay. Why does the flag blowing in the wind? And I'm not going to show any more video right now because I showed enough already. If you guys can find this, the flag's blowing in the wind. There's supposed to be no atmosphere. Why can't we zoom in and see the landing site? You know, so we can see detail on the moon that they say is 237,000 miles away with our naked eye. We can see craters that are supposedly like 30 miles wide with our naked eye, 237,000 miles. But with a telescope, we can't see the landing site. And you guys just buy it. Why? Everything's adding up to this is bullshit. This is bullshit. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. It's absolute bullshit. If you look at the landing site, the pictures that they give us, you can't zoom in and get your own perspective of it because God knows what reason. Say you look at their images of the lander site and the lunar lander, which we're going to bring up. On the lander, on the feet of the lander, first of all, there's no dust at all from where it would have blew a hole in the ground. But even better, there's not even a hole in the ground. There's no blast crater. How did this thing land to take off? There's no blast crater at all. It looks like it was just dropped down on a movie set with a crane, bro. You know what I mean? It looks like it was dropped down with a crane. And then we're going to talk about the 1972, the last time they supposedly went to the moon, which when they took off is absolutely absurd. But I want to show you guys something real quick. And this is just an image. And this is the Luna Lander. Now, this is big, too. This is one of the first things I show people all the time. So I'm showing you now. And let's see. Sorry, my computer just goes a little slow sometimes. Oh, come on. Here it is. Look at this thing. So this piece of shit, right, made out of black construction paper that's ripped, aluminum foil, scotch tape, cardboard boxes, and wire hangers. Landed on the moon. This is what you guys have had $135 billion taken out of your taxes for with just the Apollo missions alone. Not even counting the money you fund NASA now at $52 million a day. Yes, a day, not a year. $20 billion a year for bullshit like this. If I built this in fourth grade in art class, I would have fucking failed. She would have been like, what is this? I wouldn't even let my dog sleep in that thing to stay out of a light drizzle. Look at that thing. That thing's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'd rather sleep in a paper mache house. So this thing went through the vacuum of space. It went through the thermosphere. It went through the Van Allen radiation belts, which we're going to talk about. And I know a lot of you guys probably haven't heard of this yet. You know, like I said, this is for the newer people. So, you know, the Van Allen radiation belts, NASA has said in their own words about, I'm going to have a clip later I can play you where five different times they told you that they can't get through the Van Allen radiation belts today. And those are only like 1,000, 1,200 miles up, allegedly, these deadly belts of radiation that they supposedly went to get to the moon. But you can't get through it today. They haven't figured out they're working on the technology. But they're going to go to Mars. And you believe that they got a convertible fucking flying on its way to Mars with a mannequin driving it. Do you see how absurd this is? They're all going to laugh at you. Actually, they are all laughing at you. It's ridiculous, dude. It's ridiculous. Oh, it just drives me nuts. And then they think you got the Johnny Five on Mars. And how are they using it with a remote control from Earth? All these millions of miles? Come on, man. Come on. Why can't we get through the Van Allen belt? So, you know, when it comes to asking an astronaut, hey, why can't we get – what did you guys do to get through the Van Allen radiation belts? You know what they'll say? And they've said this. Well, we didn't know about it, so we were all right. That's what one of them said. I guess because you didn't know about it and you say it's deadly radiation, you were out. Another guy says, we just went really fast through it. What type of special shielding did you have? Oh, we didn't have any, but we just went really fast through it. Really fast. And then there's Don Pettit from NASA, okay? Now, Don Pettit, he came straight out and said, we'd go back
to between the lines. Take a listen.
I'd go to the moon.
Hang on. I don't know why that auto started. But he comes straight out and says he'd go. He's a NASA astronaut, and now he's like an administrator there. He's one of the top dogs. And he says, I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology anymore. We destroyed it. So you can't reproduce 1969 technology? Like, why would you ever destroy it? The greatest, and this is the stuff. Think of all the excuses when you ask all these logical questions, all the excuses that they come up with. Are those satisfactory excuses? We destroyed the technology. Do you know that there's supposed to be 45,000 boxes of telemetry data? Now, that's bunk, anyways, because there is no telemetry data because they didn't go anywhere. But there's supposed to be 45,000 boxes of it, and it's all missing. It's all missing. You can't find any of it. No, it's all missing. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson comes out, and he's one of the big spokesmen for NASA and these type of organizations having to do with science. And his proof they went to the moon, he comes out on camera and says this. This guy is just – I want to choke him out. He comes out on camera, and he's like, well, of course we went to the moon. You know, we had just enough fuel to get there and back. Where do you think we went, the Piggly Wiggly? Oh, because you had enough fuel. Whether you did or didn't, we're never going to know. But even if you did, because you had enough fuel to get to the moon and back, that means you went to the moon. And we're idiots for questioning it. We're idiots for questioning why we see wire harnesses. We're idiots for questioning. Like this pictures, for instance, one of the first pictures of Earth from the moon's surface. And you can see that Earth is photoshopped into the picture. There's a square box around it, dude. It's not a real picture. It's not one fluid picture. It's put together. Whether it's even two real pictures to begin with, but they're stitched together. You know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy that people believe this, and that's why I get so fired up about this. You know. And I want all you guys to look at this. I want all you 9/11 researchers to look into Apollo. I want all you Mandela effect researchers to look into Apollo. I want all you vaccine researchers, chemtrails, whatever it is. I want you guys all to look into Apollo. And, you know, we don't have to agree on what the motive is. You can disagree with me. And I'm not even going to get into the motive right now other than money, okay? We're just going to leave it at that. And then I'm going to let you figure it out from there. And you got to come and take it in small steps, okay? That's what the motive is up for debate anyways. But the fact remains is you're being deceived on a huge level. You're deceiving your own kids by passing on this information, even though you didn't know you were doing it. Well, now you know you're doing it. So look yourself in the mirror, and you're going to continue to fucking lie to everybody. Or you're going to continue to let these people tell you how to think. If you use common sense, does the moon look like it's 237,000 miles away? Anyways, if you can even see it, do you think you could see 237,000 miles? Slow your roll, Clark Kent. Christopher Reeves. I mean, really? 237,000 miles. It's crazy. It's crazy. So then if the 1972 is their last trip there, supposedly, right? And there's footage of the lunar lander taking off. And as it's going up, the camera perfectly in sync goes up, pans up with it and whatnot. And then the only question is, well, that's the last time they went to the moon. I mean, who filmed it? Is that guy still up there? Because he must be really hungry. Or are they going to say they did it remote control from the Earth? Because when they do remote control, supposedly, not even remote control, but like a phone call with the ISS, which is only 250 miles, allegedly, at the most, usually closer to 200, they say. 200 to 237,000, okay? And there's like a 13-second delay to the ISS. How are they in sync remote controlling a camera on the moon as a craft is lifting? How would you ever do that with a 13-second delay? I mean, even with a 13-second, never mind how many more times that's multiplied by the time you get out to the moon. This is the shit you guys believe. They tell you that there's fucking satellites out by Pluto, which is 10 billion miles away. 10 billion, not million, which is, you know, 10 billion. And then there's one that's 13 billion. gets better than this, though. Not only are they that far, what type of fuel do they use? But they're communicating back with us. They're sending pitches back. There was a contest where you could text message one of them and get a reply. And they've been up there since 1977. I was born in 1977. I'm 41 years old. You're telling me 41 years old ago, they sent these satellites up unmanned. And somehow now they have the infrastructure on them to stream back pictures and to send and receive text messages. And they still have gas. You believe it, though. Because you don't want to shake your indoctrination system, your belief system. It's too scary for you. You need to look at it. Why are they lying to you? You don't have to believe what I believe, but you have to use some common sense and look at these people lying to you. You can figure out why, but it's a huge lie. I mean, this is in all our schools, our media, our video games, our television, music. It's everywhere. Obviously, you know, it's been beaten into your head since you were a kid, you know? Since you were a kid. I'm going to show you another picture real quick, guys. Stick with me for 1 second. It's the only other picture I need to show. And this is when Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins returned from the moon. So the story says. And this is the post-conference, the post-conference interview. And you tell me what you think about the mood and of these guys. Do these guys look like they just accomplished the greatest achievement of mankind? Where did my picture go? Hang on. Sorry about that. So do these guys look like they accomplished the greatest achievement of mankind, or they look like a bunch of liars? And you should see the pictures before they went. They're all happy, bouncing around. So it's not like this is their demeanor all the time. They're always serious guys because they're NASA scientists. This guy right here on the left, Buzz Aldrin, he's a douche. You ever watch him? He just gets drunk out of his mind and cusses people out. The guy's an idiot. He's a real a-hole. And when he got confronted about this, he got confronted about that footage that I showed you of them with the Earth in the window. And you know what happened when he was confronted with that by Bart Sabrell? He punched him in the face. He punched the film producer in the face for it. Okay? And then Bart Sabrell went around and he offered each of these astronauts, he went to about a dozen of them, and he offered them all, not even like $100. He offered them like $5,000, or at least that's what he offered Neil. He offered them all cash, I think $1,000, just to put their hand on the Bible and say that and swear that they landed on the moon. Now, people will say, oh, well, the Bible. Okay, well, here's the point. If they don't believe in the Bible and they went on the moon, why wouldn't they just put their hand on the Bible to shut this guy the hell up? If they do believe in the Bible and they swear they went on the and they really went on the moon, why wouldn't they just put their hand on the Bible and swear on it, especially where their pride's being shaken about this event that they supposedly really did? Of course they would just swear on it, but they didn't. Some of them even ran. One guy, one astronaut, I forget his name, but it's in – I forgot to link the other documentary. I will, because there's a follow-up to the funny thing happened on the way to the moon with Bart Sabrell called Astronauts Gone Wild. It shows all of this. It shows all their reaction. I'll link it below in the description. I'll add it as soon as the show's over, okay? And one of the guys threatens to shoot him. He threatens to get his gun and shoot him. What are they so mad about, bro? What are they so mad about? You know, these guys brought back stuff that they supposedly had in their pockets and sold it, like Buzz Aldrin sold change. He said it had in his pocket and he went on the moon with it. They actually gave a rock to a Dutch museum, and the Dutch museum called them out for fraud years later because it turned out to just be petrified wood. The moon rock. Petrified wood. When you go through the lunar photography in the six missions, there's like 20 photographs in total. I mean, it's an absolute joke. And, you know, so a lot of you guys are into other things before. Maybe you're not even into research and stuff, and this is the first thing you're going to research. Like, all right, because I could see how this would be people's first topic. This could have been mine. It wasn't. It was my second, but it easily could have been mine if I came across this and something made me think about it or whatever. Before you started research, and if you're not a researcher already, you probably like sports a lot, or you do things like this. And like somebody like Michael Jordan, for instance, right? Now, I was a big Michael Jordan fan, sure. Michael Jordan was the man, right? So somebody like Michael Jordan, how many times has he been interviewed? I mean, could you guess? It's not 1,000, right? It's way more than 1,000. It's not 5,000. It's probably not even 10,000. Might even be 100,000. I mean, I don't know, right? But what's he do? He's a basketball player. Maybe the best ever, but he's a basketball player, right? Neil Armstrong supposedly made the greatest achievement of mankind, first man to walk on the moon. How many interviews do you think he gave? 10,000? You know, because obviously I'm inferring it's less than Jordan if I'm phrasing the question this way, right? What do you think, 10,000? 1,000? How about he just gave one? He just gave that one public one. And he stayed off camera until he died. He got approached a few times. He did not go do why wouldn't he be speaking? He should be on camera. He would be on Oprah and Letterman and any show you can imagine, on the Science Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, any channel he wants, really. The guy would be everywhere, and it would be part of the requirement. Even if he wasn't really about being on the camera all the time, they would make him do it, to do public speakings. But they didn't, because he's lying. That's why he didn't want to do it. That's why Buzz Aldrin's such an a-hole, because he's lying. None of these people go to space. If you watch a rocket launch, we're going to talk about rocket launches right now. Those rockets aren't even going to space, okay? They don't have people in them. They shoot them up. They arc up and out and over, and you can watch them come down and go into the ocean. Yeah, you're not going to see them splash down, but you can see them on a clear descent before they even out of your line of vision. You can see them coming down. It's a joke, man. So let's talk about the Mars thing for a minute too. Is they push to you like they've been to Mars, but they can't go back to the moon? The Mars is like, I forget, 13 million or something? 10 million miles, they say? It's million, in the millions. It's over 10 million. But they can't go 237 back to the moon where they already been six times? 40 years ago? Like, you believe that shit? And they got Johnny Five with the super replenishing battery that was supposed to die 5 years ago, still up there, fooling around, taking fucking selfies with a selfie stick. Yeah. Selfies with a selfie stick. Johnny Five on Mars. The Mars rover, selfie stick, pictures of himself, remote control from Earth. That's the story you believe. Man, if you believe that, I really feel bad for you, but you shouldn't believe that anymore. And I know maybe it's never all been presented to you like this, but that's the point of this video. All this bullshit, all added up. You have to partake in all of it. If you believe some of it, you got to believe all of it, because you're trusting the people that are putting it all out. It's all bullshit. Watch the Mars, the press conference after the Mars landing, right? So they bring out these four or five guys that are supposed like head engineers of the whole mission. You know what I mean? They got the thing off the ground or whatever, right? So they asked this one guy, Adam Stelzner is his name. And I'll put the link in the video too, in the description later too. I got to remember to do that. I'm going to write that down right now. That's going to distract me. I'll write that down after. But Adam Stelzner, he comes out and they ask him pretty basic questions, but he's like, all right, so like what type of communication module did you have with this and that? Or nothing crazy, but a little bit of a question, well, and he would look around in the audience. If John Walls is here right now, I mean, he could answer that for you. And he did this like five times. Every time they asked him any sort of question that he had to answer, he would look around and call for somebody that was never there, so they couldn't ask anybody, and the question just got avoided. They would look like a USA pep rally. At one point, the guy comes out and he was like, "Oh, this movie only cost every American $7." I mean, it's like, come on, dude. It's just on and on and on. And now people think that there's a convertible. You got to believe in all of it. So there's a red convertible, top down. Mannequin driving, says don't panic on the dashboard, and he's just cruising, and he's got perfect paint, he's got perfect inflation in the tires, the glass isn't cracked, nothing happened when he went through the thermosphere, with the top down to his uniform that he's wearing. I mean, you might as well just say that the thing is actually alive and driving the thing, and it's an alive mannequin that came to life, because it wouldn't be any more absurd. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And NASA just throws this shit out there, and people just buy it up because it's NASA and it's space, and people smarter than you figured it out. Well, guess what? People smarter than you are deceiving you, and they're playing you for fucking suckers. You're being brainwashed as a mass. You know what I mean? Playing you for a sucker. It's bad, man. It's time to look into the moon landing. I'm going to play a short little clip. It's about 4 minutes long. Credit to ODD for this. He put this together. It's five times NASA admitting they can't go past low Earth orbit. Low Earth orbit being like no higher than like 1,000 miles. Low Earth orbit, I think the highest they say they went in low Earth orbit is like a few hundred miles. But the Van Allen radiation belt is what's supposedly keeping them in at 1,200 miles an hour. So they're telling you they can't get through them. If those even really exist, but according to them, they do. So they're telling you they can't get through them, yet they went to the moon six times and back in 1969 and they went through them. So when we question what they use for shielding, because you would need gold or lead and that would totally weigh down the craft, it wouldn't even get off the ground, they don't have an answer, you know? And here's five times of them admitting it. I want to play this for you guys real quick. This is good stuff.
One, NASA's next spacecraft, already being built and tested across America, will do those things and more.
This is the spacecraft that's going to take humans to explore the solar system. It's the next big step for NASA in exploration.
Called the Orion Multipurpose Crew Vehicle, or MPCV, this next generation spacecraft will enable America to explore beyond low Earth orbit. Two.
As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
Three.
The plan that NASA has is to build a rocket called SLS, which is a heavy lift rocket. It's something that is much bigger than what we have today, and it will be able to launch the Orion capsule with humans on board, as well as landers or other components to destinations beyond Earth orbit. Right now, we only can fly in Earth orbit. That's the farthest that we can go, and this new system that we're building is going to allow us to go beyond and hopefully take humans into the solar system to explore. So the moon, Mars, asteroids, there's a lot of destinations that we could go to, and we're building these building block components in order to allow us to do that eventually.
Four.
The kinds of technologies that we're testing out on space station are definitely helping us with our goals of going beyond low Earth orbit. So we have a really robust exploration program at NASA.
Five.
And unlike the previous program, we are setting a course with specific and achievable milestones. Early in the next decade, a set of crewed flights will test and prove the systems required for exploration beyond low Earth orbit.
So how did we send humans to the moon six times so early on, but we can't figure it out in 2016?
Exactly. Thank you, ODD, for that video. ODD is the man. I highly recommend ODD's channel for everybody. Really, really good guy. Makes some great music, too. Right there, they're admitting that they can't go past low Earth orbit. So, like, how does it even add up? So listen to the phases of this, right? It's Earth, right? Check it out, Earth. Low Earth orbit. I get tongue twisted. Low Earth orbit, right? They can't get through here. But they got to the moon. But they can't get back to the moon. But they go to Mars with a convertible with a top down, and you fucking believe it. I mean, where's your logic? Where's your logic? I don't want to keep you guys too long. I just want to make a couple more points, and I want to definitely keep this video under an hour so people will tend to click on it. And guys, please, when the show is over, please do me a favor. Share the video. Help me get this going. I'm trying to get this channel built back up since they banned me for 90 days. Slowed me down totally. Couldn't do any live videos. I had to do all my backup just when momentum got going. Some of my shorter videos seem to be a good idea right now, and I really think this is a great idea. So please share this with the people you know haven't looked into this yet, okay? The other thing I wanted to address is the stars. How did I forget the stars? Where is the footage of the stars and all this photography? Why are the stars missing? And then when you ask the astronauts about the stars, you know, Neil Armstrong will be like, oh, no, we couldn't see any stars. And then another astronaut will be like, oh, the stars are so bright and beautiful. Then another one will be like, oh, you couldn't see any stars from the surface. And their stories just keep changing and changing and changing. And then one of my final points I want to make, and I'll let you guys go, is a couple final points, actually. If they really went to the moon, especially, you know, with the way people are now, you know, and if they could go there, why would they put a camera up there and film the Earth? I mean, there's no camera of the Earth from space. We should have a 24-hour camera. Everybody could put it on their TV or as their screensaver. They wouldn't cost them anything. Now, first of all, they steal the money off you anyways and pay for it. But it wouldn't even have to cost you. They could legit let Coca-Cola, other companies, put their ads on the bottom of the screen in a banner or even run commercials here and there. And that would pay for it, you know, because they would pay so much money to have their ad on the channel that everybody's going to watch all the time. But they don't do that because they can't go to the moon. Why, when you look at the moon, do you never see the backside of it? They tell you the Earth rotates and the moon rotates. They're both rotating. How does this fucking thing rotating up there on an axis not ever show you the backside? How do you not see the backside of it? They're lying to you about all of this in a huge way, people. A huge way. All right. I'm going to leave it at that. I want to thank everybody that came. I'm sorry I didn't interact with the chat much. I just wanted to do a quick video for the obvious reasons. Thank you, everybody. My channel is back. Next video, I promise I'll interact with the chat more, unless it's just another short video like this. Our show will be on Saturday, as it always is. Make sure if you're not subscribed to this channel already, if you did get your attention grabbed by this, we do get into this and a lot of other topics, okay? I'll leave links below for you guys to follow up on this moon research. I also, if you're on my channel, just go to Moon Hoax, and I have some of the beginner videos right in a row for you. I should actually just put that link and just click it and just let them autoplay. You get through three or four videos and you're going to really start to see what I'm saying. If you're not already seeing already, hopefully I'm making you think. Saturday, we'll be back. We usually do shows at 3. We've done it at 2 last week. If it's cool with Gloria and Paul, they're in the chat right now. I can't read it because I'm focusing on this. But if they're cool doing it at 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll do it then. That works out better for me. I have a couple other short videos I have planned. What happened to our yellow sun? The word of God can be changed, and a few other short ones coming out as well as Saturday's big show. So make sure to like this video, subscribe, make sure to click the notification bell so you get notified of all my videos. And when we go off the air, if you guys could please share this on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you guys have. I know everybody says that and we kind of lazy and don't do it. Take this 5 seconds from me this time. Let's get this message out and let's get the channel some traffic that it deserves. And I can't do this without the help I have on my other shows as well. Thank you for Paul, Gloria, James Sloan, everybody that I've interviewed on the My Awakening interviews. Make sure you guys check that out as well. There's other people that are going through this stuff like you guys are in phases. And I've interviewed various people in different communities on the topics that they're passionate about and kept them all to about an hour. And I think you guys will really like those. So check out the My Awakening interviews and all the shows, including those and all the regular shows and these small videos. They're all in the Dose of Reality playlist right here on my channel. Thanks, everybody. And I'll be back with another short video soon. Could even be tonight. Who knows? All right. Good night.